Everybody awake? We here? Ready to go? Okay. At least one person is. Well, you may notice that Pastor Dennis isn't here. Him and Sandy are down in Sacramento at Pastor Don Pritchard's church, and they're blessing them with a word from the Lord this morning. So you get me and you get my fire stories today, amen? Because I've got one anyway, but we'll see how that goes. Anyhow, this morning, I thought I'd talk about Jesus. Good topic, right? I mean, isn't that why we're here? It's all about Jesus. It's about, you know, what he did for us. And, you know, we just celebrated Easter, right? Resurrection Day. You know, we celebrated the time that Jesus rose from the dead, and taking communion this morning. You know, it's just thinking about everything that Jesus did for us. I mean, all of that stuff that he did, and he did it all so our sins could be forgiven and that we could be reconciled back to the Father. I mean, just an amazing thing. And through that, we get to spend eternity with him. I mean, as opposed to spending eternity in the other place the Bible talks about, and I'll get into that a little later today. But anyway, knowing that alone should make us all shout for joy. Everything Jesus did for us and that we can be reconciled back to the Father should just make us shout for joy. That alone should really keep the joy of the Lord deep in our lives, regardless of any situation or circumstances we may be facing. That joy ought to be in there, just knowing everything that Jesus did for us. Amen? And I'm going to use a whole lot of scriptures today. I apologize to the overhead guys. I had like 2 pages worth on little scriptures I wrote out. So if you're fast, you'll keep along. But just to keep things rolling, we'll go through it. But honestly, they're all in the Word of God. Okay, we're gonna say that. But we'll start in John 14:6. And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You know, God's word right there is very clear. I mean, there's no wiggle room, no gray area. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." And I want to dig into that a little bit this morning. And starting with, Jesus is the way. You know, Jesus started out, he says, he is the way. And if we truly believe that Jesus is the way to the Father, wouldn't that mean our focus should be on him? I mean, if Jesus is the way and he's leading us to the Father, I think I want to focus on him and find out where he wants to lead me and take me, because he is the way. And, you know, sometimes we can get off track a little bit. And if we're focused on Jesus, that should be our primary focus. He should be number one in our lives. We say that a lot, but I mean, that's what it should be. So I want to encourage you this morning, don't focus on the blessings, focus on the blesser, the one who brings the blessings. You know, don't focus on the gifts, focus on the one who gives the gifts. I mean, we need to get our focus right. And then, as Anthony was saying today, you know, the blessings of God come, but our priorities need to be in the right order. You know, we need to be focused on Jesus first. And you can turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And laying a little groundwork here. You know, we need to be careful that our relationship with God doesn't become, you know, man-centered or me-centered or you-centered. I mean, it shouldn't be about us primarily, and definitely not first. And we shouldn't be looking for entertainment. You know, we should be looking for the truth of who God is. And it's sad. I mean, out in the world today, entertainment is like king. Everybody wants to be entertained. And in fact, when COVID came around the first time and they started trying to decide, you know, who could meet and who couldn't meet and where you should go and where you can't go and just all of those things that came into play. Regardless of what you think, right or wrong about those things, I remember, at least here in California, church was categorized under entertainment. And it's like, this shouldn't be entertainment. You know, are we giving the impression as the church that we're just entertaining people? It really shouldn't be that way. It should be about Jesus Christ. Amen? But that kind of stuff happens at least in my opinion, when Jesus is no longer really the focus, when other things become the focus, you know, the show, the lights, the whatever it may be, when those things become the focus and we lose sight of Jesus, it's no wonder that people look at the church at times and go, oh, they're just entertaining people out there. But 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 1, clears this up. And it says, "And I, brethren, came to you and did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified." And Paul tells us right there, you know what? It's not about a performance. You know, it's not about excellence of speech. And it's certainly not focused on, you know, man-centered wisdom and ideas. It's just about Jesus Christ and him crucified. That's what it's about. And for me, anyway, I like this verse. You know, I really like that because it tells me it's not about a performance. And I'm not a good performer, so it really speaks to me. I mean, I could try to juggle maybe a little bit, you know, and be all performing for people, but that's not what it's about, right? It's not about a performance, and it's not about excellence of speech. You know, it's about the Word of God. It's about what Jesus Christ did for us. It's about him and him crucified. But what we see in the world today is people really seeking out entertainment performance, right? I mean, it's really, it seems to be off the charts in a lot of ways. We see it in the television programming. We just see it, you know, in internet stuff. I mean, we get caught up in the lives now. I mean, there's so many reality shows and different things where we get caught up in the lives of celebrities or whatever we categorize a celebrity as. You know, it could be, you know, a singer or an athlete or, you know, an actor or, you know, and even those internet influencers out there are pretty darn popular. You know, they're just, but they're out there entertaining people, and there's a place for that entertainment, but it shouldn't be in Christianity, at least when we're talking about the Word of God. And, you know, we can have our favorite Christian celebrity, you know, that we may like to listen to, you know, different people on TV. And, you know, those things are fine. I'm not saying it's all bad. And those things can be fine as long as they're preaching the Word of God, as long as they're preaching what the Word of God says. We can't let those celebrities, if we put them in that kind of status in our life, just famous, I guess, people, we can't let them take the place of Jesus in our lives. And you might be thinking, come on, there's no way I would do that. There's no way I would let some entertainer, performer, or just somebody on TV that may be preaching take the place of Jesus in my life. I just wouldn't do that. And maybe you wouldn't, but I know I did. And that's probably why it's important to me to make that distinction, because I got wrapped up definitely in one person you know, was on television, you know, bringing forth, you know, the Word and just preaching and doing all of that stuff. And it got to the point for me that, or I got so wrapped up into that, that I started quoting that person more than I was quoting the Word of God. You know, I got, I just found that, you know what, that's just not a good place to be. You know, whatever that person's doing, it's the Word of God that's important, not what they're saying that's important. And I'm not here to say it was their fault. It's not on them. It was my fault. You know, it's my fault for shifting my priority and putting somebody above God. It's not on them. And it's my choice. It's where I want to put my focus. And it's your choice on where you want to put your focus. And what I should have done and what I do now, at least I pray and I try to do now, is to study the Word of God and find out what the Word of God's saying and see if what anybody else is saying lines up with that. And I would encourage you to do that with me today, you know, if what I'm saying lines up with what the Word of God tells you. And I'm not saying that all TV ministers are bad, and if you're watching that, that's fine. I'm just saying, as for me and my house, for Kathy and I, we just don't want to be deceived. You know, I'd want to follow somebody. That's why I want to make sure what they're saying lines up with the Word and put Jesus first, because Jesus, that's his place in our lives, at least it should be. You know, we need to follow the example of the Apostle Paul and determine not to know anything but Jesus Christ and him in him crucified. I mean, that's what we need to do. And it's funny, if you do that, if you really take that stand and say, you know what, I don't want to know anything but Jesus Christ, his truth, and him crucified, people will look at you and say, you're kind of closed-minded, aren't you? I mean, there's a lot more stuff out there. You're just kind of closed-minded. And they bring it across like it's something bad, like it's bad to be closed-minded. But you know what? I say amen to that. I want to be closed-minded to the ways of the world and open-minded to what the truth of God's word says. You know, that's where I want to keep my focus. But the world is out there saying all kinds of bizarre stuff. And, you know, they're telling us there are many, many ways to God. There are many paths to God. And in fact, not only are there many paths to God, there are many gods out there to choose from. Just pick and choose whatever you want to do, and it's all good. And you were told, if we're not open-minded about those kinds of things out there, that we're wrong, we're somehow on the wrong side of history, or, you know, we're archaic or old-fashioned in our thinking. And again, I say amen to that. If it's not in here, I don't want to have anything to do with it. But that's the devil's plan, right? I mean, the devil wants us to do one thing. He wants us to deny the name of Jesus. He wants us to not focus on Jesus, focus on anything else, and whatever he can get us to do that, or whenever he can get us to do that, he wins a victory in our lives. He wants us basically to get to that point in our lives of saying, you know what, maybe there are other ways to God. Maybe there are other gods out there, you know, get us to start going down those roads. And in Mark 13:13, Jesus knew this was going to happen, and he said, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. You know, and I start thinking, why would the devil want us to deny the name of Jesus? Why would that be so important to him? And over in Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 10, we see the answer to that, and it says, let it be known to you all and to all the people in Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders and has become the chief cornerstone. And verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men which we must be saved. The devil fights so hard against the name of Jesus because Jesus is the only way to the Father. Jesus is the only way to salvation. So if we don't build our lives on Jesus, you know, the Word, Jesus is the Word made flesh. If we don't do that, we're not going to find our way to salvation. We're not going to find the way because we're not following Jesus, who is the way. And again, that's what the devil wants. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let the devil win that battle in my life. And actually, I do know. You guys don't want that either. I mean, you guys, none of us want that, because we know that Jesus is the only way to God. Jesus is the truth, and he is the life. And really, right there is the basic doctrine of the Word of God right there. And that's what we need to build our foundation on. We need to build our foundation on Jesus, because if we don't get that right, we're not going to get to the Father. If we don't get those things right, we're just not going to get to the Father. And again, that's what Jesus or the devil wants. He wants us to get chasing anything, get us distracted on anything else that will keep or take our focus off of Jesus and who he is and what he did for us. And, you know, sometimes we think, well, I'll get around to that. I want to explore different avenues and think of different things. And over in James chapter 4, starting in verse 13, it addresses that. It says, come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city and spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or do that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. And I love that because it tells us right there that what we do today is important. Because we don't know what's coming tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. It's not guaranteed to us. And I like that vapor time, you know, he talks about our time on earth is a vapor. And I don't know about anybody else here, you know, but when you get a few years under your belt, you know, you start looking back and go, where did the time go? You know, it just happened so fast. I mean, didn't I just graduate from high school? And no, they're telling you your 50-year anniversary is coming up and you're going, oh my gosh. But it's really, our time is a vapor time here on earth. And that's why we need to get our priorities straight, because that vapor time that we spend on earth determines where we're going to spend eternity. And it's really important that we follow Jesus, make sure we're following him and following his ways. And, you know, it tells us, you know, since we don't know about tomorrow and our lives is a vapor, we need to get our priorities straight now, not when I feel like it, not when I think I can get around to it, but we need to get going now. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, starting in verse 1, it says, then we as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Again, just reinforcing that today is the day. You know, we need to follow Jesus today and every day, and not to take the grace of God in vain. He's already done everything that we need. We just need to follow his ways. And, you know, the devil's going to tell you a different story. And I don't know if anybody else has heard these kinds of things. I think I may have said this too at one point in my life. You know, I know God's true. You know, I know that Bible stuff, you know, it's good stuff. And I know it's the right thing to do. And I know I need to get to that sometime. But you know what? I got a life to live. I got some things that I want to do. And, you know, I'll get to that point when I'm ready, and then I'll just kind of slide into heaven, you know, right there at the end. I mean, I've heard people say that, and I was kind of thinking back, and I think I agreed or at least said that as well myself. But you know what? Nothing is guaranteed. We need to be doing what we need to do today according to the Word of God. And if we get into that mindset, well, you know, there are many ways to God anyway, so I'll just get to it when I think about it. Or when I feel about it more than anything, that's just a lie. And it's just opening ourselves up to things that we don't need to open ourselves up to. There was a commercial that ran not long ago that I thought was pretty interesting. And it was a bunch of, again, back to kind of celebrity people, right? So a bunch of different celebrities getting up there, and they were all telling us how many different paths there are to God. And they were showing numerous different religions, you know, clips of different services and people doing all kinds of things. And, you know, the goal of that was, let's all be inclusive. We're all fine. We're all good. There's many ways to God. There are many gods out there, and it's all good. You know, we don't want to offend anybody, so let's just all be accepting and be open-minded about all of this stuff that's going on. And the bottom line was, you know what? Just don't talk about this Jesus is the only way stuff. I mean, there are other ways, and I'm a celebrity, so you know I know, you know, because I'm here, I'm on a platform, I get to tell you all of that stuff, and you know, we don't want you to be just thinking that Jesus is the only way stuff, because that's just too offensive and really too archaic for people. You know, we're enlightened now, we know more than we knew back then, and you know, it's out there, that mindset is out there, and I would just encourage you, you know what? It's about Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. So, again, my answer to them is, amen, I am closed-minded to those kinds of things, and I'm open-minded to the things of God, because your eternity, my eternity, depends on those decisions that we're making in this vapor time that we have here on earth. So, again, Jesus, you know, the way, the truth, and the life, and I want to look at that more in the full context in John. I'm going to start in chapter 1, chapter 14, verse 1. Not chapter 1. And Jesus said, starting there in verse 1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you now, and the way you know. And Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you have known him and have seen him through Jesus. So, you know, right there, Jesus told Thomas not only where he was going, but how to get there. Follow him, follow his ways. But Jesus wasn't just telling Thomas that, was he? He was telling everybody there, and he's telling that to us now, that he is the way, and we need to follow him. And that's why it's so important to study the Word of God, because following Jesus can be difficult. And the Word of God tells us that few will find it. And that's kind of scriptures that when I read those really kind of gets my attention. And over in Matthew chapter 7, it's in verse 13, and it's like, well, how do we know that few people are going to find the way to God? And, you know, it sounds pretty harsh, you know, when you think about it, but Jesus said in Matthew 7, starting in verse 13, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go in by it, but narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. And it's like, wow, okay, I want to keep my focus on Jesus, because if my focus is on him, I'm aimed at the narrow gate. If my focus is on something else, then I'm looking at that broad path that leads to destruction. And that word destruction here means exclusion from salvation. So really what he's saying there is the broad path is those who have rejected Jesus. You know, I mean, our sin has been taken care of. All of that is done. It's those who are rejecting Jesus that don't get in. So really that word destruction means they're excluded from salvation. That tells me they've rejected Jesus, that he wasn't the way for them in their lives. And the word life there means the highest of all and the best which Christ is and which he gives to all his saints, the highest blessedness of his creation. So, simple question, little quiz here. Which is better, destruction or life? Life, right? I mean, we're all going to say life, but we got to focus on that because narrow is the gate that leads to salvation. So we all know, or if you don't know here this morning, I'm going to let you know, the first step we need to do or to take is to be born again, right? I mean, we need to be born again or saved. In John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So that's the first step that we all have to take, and it's so important because if we can't see the kingdom, how are we going to get there? And we only see the kingdom through Jesus, right? So it all ties together. And again, that's why we need to be born again. And then when we do that, you know, our lives will begin to change, right? The old lifestyle, the old things should be passing away, and behold, all things come new. And we find that in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So if I'm in Christ, I'm a new creation, right? I mean, that's the way that works. So what would be the opposite? If I'm not in Christ, then I'm not a new creation, right? I'm living my same old life. So I started thinking about it. Wow, if the old things have not passed away in my life, the old things meaning, you know, sinful lifestyles, not putting Jesus first, those kinds of things, if those haven't passed away in my life, then I'm not in Christ. you know, it's not my opinion. That's what the Word of God says. If I am Christ, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. And I think of it this way, into my fire story here a little bit. Think of it this way. At one time in my career, I was an engine captain driving around a fire truck and doing fire truck stuff. And I decided, and it had to be God, but I decided, hey, I'm going to take this job as an aviation coordinator, you know, and go from driving around in a fire truck to sitting in an office behind a computer fighting fire, however that was supposed to work. But I thought, hey, I'm going to do this, you know, I'm going to take that. Just the two job titles there, even if you don't know anything about fire, I ought to say they're vastly different types of things to do. I mean, one is out there squirting water with a hose, and the other one is airplanes and helicopters flying around in the air. And so as I was putting this together, I was thinking about it, wow, if I would have tried to have done my job as an aviation coordinator like I did as an engine captain, that wouldn't have worked. You know, that wouldn't have worked. I mean, if somebody, you know, ordered up an air tanker for their fire and I sent them a fire truck, that's not what they needed. It's not what they wanted. It wouldn't work right. And the other one is if they called up and they said, hey, we need a bearing and distance from an airport to get this air tanker out to a fire. And I gave them street directions off of a map because that's how a fire truck would get there. That's not going to work, right? You know, and again, the point of that is I would have never been able to do the job of an aviation coordinator if I would have kept trying to be an engine captain. It just wouldn't work. But we've all been kind of through that process in one area of our lives, whether it's through jobs, taking a new job, getting a promotion into something else. I mean, it could be, you know, going from single to being married. You know, it could be going from having no kids to having kids. I mean, there's all those things that happen. And if we always try to keep doing it the way we used to, a lot of those things, you know, they're just not going to work. And again, as Christians, we need to examine ourselves to make sure that our lives are not staying like the old man, that we're actually being conformed and more into the image of Jesus and doing things God's way. And really, it's really what the Word of God says. And, you know, a lot of what I'm saying this morning so far is like, you got to do. And you might be thinking, now wait, I thought we were saved by grace. You know, what's this doing stuff all about? And you're absolutely right. We are saved by grace. And in Ephesians 2, starting at verse 8, it says, "For we are saved by grace, and by grace we have been saved through faith." I'll get it right. And not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So right there, we are saved by grace. I mean, there's not going to be one person ever in history, past or future, that's ever going to be able to stand in front of the Lord and saying, by my good works, by my good deeds, by everything that I accomplished, I have earned my way into heaven. Nobody's going to be able to say that. We are saved by grace, and it's not by anything that we can do. But we want to kind of look at the Word of God in its context, right? Take the whole counsel of the Word of God and not base how we live our lives on one or two verses. And that's probably why I'm using so many verses today, is kind of get through a whole lot of the Word of God. But when we're saved, we're justified to God through Jesus, right? I mean, we are justified. Jesus did all the work. But at that point, a sanctification process begins in our lives, and it's during that sanctification process that we start to work out our salvation. And in Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 12, it says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to a will and to do for his good pleasure." Yeah, right there, the Apostle Paul is telling us, you know what? We need to work in cooperation with God to work out our salvation. You know, we need to be applying the word. We need to be doing, just following God's ways and be doers of the word, not hearers only. So that tells me that just saying a prayer and not changing my life just saying a prayer and not changing my thoughts and lining them up with being conformed with what the Word of God says, that's telling me that I have to do something. I'm not, there's more than just a prayer. It's stepping out in obedience, stepping out in faith, and being a doer of the Word. And in Hebrews 12:28, it says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." God empowers us through His grace to serve Him acceptably, you know. And serving means we ought to be doing something. We need to be out using the gifts that God's giving us to advance His kingdom, to fulfill that call that He's put on our lives. And again, we're working with in cooperation with God to work out our salvation. And I want to, if you wanted to turn to James and try to stay up, I'm going to go through James here a little bit. But James has a lot of scriptures that show us that we have a part in our walk with God. And we'll start with James chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." So as I read through all of those, who's responsible for laying aside the filthiness and wickedness in our lives? We are, right? We're supposed to lay that aside. You know, who's supposed to be doers of the word? We are, right? We're supposed to be doers of the word. So if you're in James, just flip over to chapter 2. I'm going to start in verse 14. Says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and filled,' but do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' If you believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works of faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God.' You see that a man is justified by works, not faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is also dead." So again, he's just really saying, you know what, our faith without those corresponding actions, we've probably all heard that, you know, faith without the corresponding actions to go with that, it's just dead. And the last one in James chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." So again, who's responsible to draw near to God first? We are, right? Who's responsible to cleanse our hands and purify our hearts? We are. You know, we got to do that. But it's working in cooperation with God. That's why He gave us His Word. That's why He gives us the Holy Spirit. So that working in cooperation with Him, we can cleanse our hands. We can walk in an acceptable way, we can show who we are in our relationship with God. We can show our faith in Him by what we're doing, working it out in our lives. So again, it tells me that faith without works is dead. And I want to clarify something that I said earlier about the old man and the new man. When we need to be conformed to the image of Jesus, right? The old man had passed away. Behold, all things become new. I know that we all have the opportunity to fall into sin. You know, right? We all miss the mark at times. You know, it's not something that we should be giving ourselves the opportunity to do. But you know, circumstance, situation, we all can miss the mark, and we all can sin. When we get to that point, what do? 1 John 1:9, right? We just repent of those sins. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I mean, we need to repent of that thing. And repentance, I'll get into that in a minute. It's more than just, hey, I'm sorry, and then you do it again. And hey, I'm sorry, do it again. And I related to, not fire this time, but there was a time in my life when through a situation, there was a person in my life that I had a problem with. It might surprise a lot of you, but I had a problem with this person, a severe problem with this person. And I've apologized to my lovely wife, Kathy, a number of times over this one, because this person would get me to react in ways that were not very godly, like, you know, saying words I shouldn't say. You know, remember the old little, before everybody just had a cell phone, you had the little cordless phones in your house? You know, that went across the room at times, you know, just things like that. But I knew I needed to forgive, right? I mean, the Word of God says forgive. I'm a good Christian, so I forgive. But as I look back now, and I want to be honest about it, which I'm going to be honest about it, when I said, I forgive, there was this little part of me in the back of my head going, but if a bolt of lightning would happen to just take that person, I'm good, and it's probably justified too, you know, or if the vehicle rolls, or, you know, I mean, all these just, you know, horrible thoughts. But I finally got to that point, and it took a while, but I finally got to that point where I confessed and repented of that sin, and it was really one of the few times I felt that real godly sorrow over something that really had a stronghold in my life, to where I wasn't confessing my sin to people. I was confessing, God, I have sinned against you. And it is so wrong, and I am so sorry. And I was just completely broken at that point. And from that day on, and I know Kathy can attest to this, nothing changed in the situation. It's not like all of a sudden, everything was wonderful. Absolutely nothing initially changed in that situation. I had changed. So when the same things happened, the same phone calls, the same stuff came up, I no longer had the knot. I no longer had the anger. And God actually moved it into where things became much better between that person and the family. And it just, I mean, God is amazing in how he works it out, but we got to do things God's way, right? We got to have that true repentance and not just say, oh, I forgive, or I'm sorry. I didn't mean to lie, but you continue to lie. You know, those kinds of things. It's not that real repentance. We really need to repent and turn from those ways. And then, to me, at least in my life, that's the old man falling away, and behold, the new one is here. And I often say now, nobody can offend me. I mean, I'm not giving you an opportunity to try. I don't want you trying to offend me, you know. The only one that's probably close now is Dave, because I wear my emotions on my sleeve around him sometimes. Just kidding. You know, we can get to that point that, you know what, when God delivers us of things, now they're no longer that big issue in our lives. So anyway, I just encourage you know what, just when you miss the mark, truly repent, truly turn away from those things, have that godly sorrow, and then just, you know, move on, because that's what God wants us to do. Amen. So over in 1 John chapter 3, verse 4, it says, whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin, talking about Jesus. Whoever abides in him does not abide in sin. Whoever sins has neither seen him or know him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. And he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin, because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. You know, John really, right there, he's just telling us, don't practice sin. It's the practicing of sin. It's the doing that same thing over and over. Whether you're saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, over and over again, if you're going right back to that, you really haven't truly repented. And he's just pointing out, let's not be a practicer of sin. Let's be a practicer of righteousness, the ways of God and doing what God says. I hope that makes sense to everybody out there. So we see that Jesus is a way, but he's also the truth. Jesus is the truth. And that needs to be the foundation of our lives. No matter what anybody else says, we need to stand firm on the truth, knowing that Jesus is the truth. His ways are true. And in John chapter 1, starting in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and he is the fullness, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus. And in John chapter 8, verse 31, and Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know what? The truth, and the truth shall make you free. You know, the words free there, to make free, means to liberate as a result of redemption. You know, so if we know the truth is going to liberate us through our redemption. I mean, that's just an awesome thing. That's what communion and everything was all about. And redeeming means to win back or to release from blame or a debt, to free from the consequences of sin. I mean, that's what redemption does. And if we're following Jesus and he is the truth, we receive that release from the blame of and debt of sin. I mean, we're just liberated and redeemed from the sin, from the truth, which is Jesus. And that's just awesome. And Jesus is also the life. And worship team, if you want to. Everybody's like, yeah, he's almost done. Woo! Some more than others, looking at the back of the... Jesus is also the life, and in John chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Again, Jesus is the bread of life. In John chapter 8, verse 12, it says, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. John chapter 11, verse 25, and Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? And I love that right there, because that's really the key to everything I've talked about today. Do you believe this? I mean, that's what it comes down to. Do you believe Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? I mean, that's what it all is. I mean, do we believe the claims Jesus made about himself? You know, there's some evangelistic programs I like to watch where they're talking to college students and, you know, getting really their ideas, what they think about, you know, stuff. And really what it comes down to is they go, do you believe that Jesus, his claims about himself are true? I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Well, you know, for me it might be true, but for somebody else it might be. And then they go into all these things, you know, if this microphone, if I believe in this microphone, it's the ultimate God of the universe and I'll live in paradise through this microphone. Do you believe that? If that's my true belief, is that good? Of course they're going to say no, but it really comes down to, do we believe the claims that Jesus made about himself? If we do, that he is the way, the truth, and life, then we need to activate, or not activate really, but we need to apply that into our lives and really begin to walk that out. It's really just a question we all have to answer for ourselves. Do I believe what Jesus said? And if I really do believe what Jesus says, am I applying that into my life? In 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, it says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Again, do we believe, or that little voice back there saying, you know, there could be other ways, there could be other paths, there could be other gods. Silence that voice. That's coming from the devil. We need to believe that Jesus is just the way, the truth, and the life. And we know that through John 10:10. You know, the thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus came that we may have life, and that life more abundantly. You know, I find it interesting. That's what the devil comes. Three things. Steal, kill, and destroy. That's it. Yet a lot of times we want to open the door to those kinds of things, knowing that that's his only plan, and we need to close that door and just open the door to the Jesus ways and what he said in his word. You know, I don't want anybody, including myself, to be deceived in thinking that, you know, I've got this right when I don't. You know, I want to make sure that I'm truly applying God's word into my life, and I'm truly doing the things that I need to do according to the word of God. But really, it's not up to me. You know, I'm not here to judge anybody's salvation. You know, that's between all of us and God. God is the one who makes that decision. But my responsibility when I'm up here speaking to everybody is to tell the truth. And again, that's why I would encourage you, study this stuff out, make sure it is the truth, because I don't want to give anybody my opinion, maybe a few stories, but not my opinion. I don't want to do that, and not my interpretation. Really, that's why I use so many scriptures. Let the Bible speak for itself. I mean, the word of God, Jesus, speak for itself, you know. And I just really pray that each one of us will make sure, because we had that vapor time, you know, today is the day of salvation. If something's not right, we take care of that. Take care of that today. And my last scripture, is in Acts 4:8. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means did he was made well, let it be known to you, let it be made known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is a stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's no other name in heaven by which we must be saved, just the name of Jesus. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. Amen? Amen? Amen. Did I pound that home enough tonight or today? You know, I'm going to open up the altar. If anybody needs prayer for anything, I'm more than happy to pray for you and to pray with you in agreement. And if you don't think you're truly saved, if there's a question in your mind about that, you know, knowing that today is the day of salvation, if that's something you want to take care of, I'm more than happy to do that with you today. So let's stand and just worship God.